Welcome to another episode of Is This for Kids? I am Jonathan Blevins.
I am Katie, Mrs. Ruby.
And today we are talking about two incredible films. Oscar-worthy films.
Can't even believe
Golden Globes.
If you will.
Dove Awards.
I really...
Just kidding.
I wanted to do an episode on the Oscars and you were like, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. All right. That's a fact. We're all in agreement that the Oscars are stupid.
Oh my gosh.
It's just a giant political propaganda show.
I watched one of the front runner movies for the Oscars and I was like, this is an Emperor's New Clothes situation. Like, I am supposed to like this movie and it's winning all these awards. It's a bad movie.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to say it. It's bad.
Okay, so we should rewatch Lion. If you haven't seen it, it's my all-time favorite movie. It won. It was nominated for a bunch of awards. I don't know how many it won years ago, but we should do an episode of Is This for Kids on Lion, because I don't remember if it's for kids, but it's my all-time favorite movie. But today we're talking about Elio, a Disney Pixar film.
Yes.
And Minecraft. And boy, do I have a story about that.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
First, worth noting that it's actually a Minecraft movie, and I don't know what that means, but I thought it was weird. Like,
I just hope there's another one then. That means there could be another one with Jack Black in it.
It sort of implies that there's something else coming, but it wasn't the Minecraft movie. It was a Minecraft movie.
Interesting.
I don't know what that was. So let's talk about Elio.
Let's just dive in. This is a movie that I thought went under the radar. I did not pay attention to the drama that was happening online during the production of this movie. Mm-hmm. And I don't really remember seeing a lot of commercials for it. Maybe I did. I just don't remember. And it was released a couple years ago, I think.
No, last summer.
Last summer.
Yep. Yeah. As soon as we watched it, I was like, have we come back for Is This for Kids? Because we need to do Elio.
That's funny because that was my reaction to Minecraft. We had taken our break before Is This for Kids was moved to EWTN.
Exclusively.
Which we love. And we never got to do Minecraft movie. So I'm excited to do that today. So Elio, last summer.
So the kerfuffle around, which I think this is like the third time I've said kerfuffle this week. I'm sorry. I've been using that word a lot lately. Regarding Elio, was that it had originally been slated to be a openly pro-LGBTQ movie. If you're paying attention, right, and if you're an adult watching the movie, you can tell. Like, you know where that was supposed to be. But because the political climate has shifted a lot, especially when it comes to what we're talking to kids about, and we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, that like there seems to be a bit of a shift as far as what people are willing to tolerate around kids. They scrubbed all the LGBTQ references from the movie, which caused it to have that effect that nobody watched it, because there was a conservative thought that this was supposed to be a pro-LGBTQ movie, and then there was a liberal thought that they scrubbed it, and therefore they had, you know, abandoned their audience or whatever, them as consumers, and so everybody was mad and nobody went and saw it, which was a real bummer, because having removed those themes or the explicit reference to those themes, they accidentally made an extremely pro-family movie, and it was very good. I cried.
Okay, it's interesting. So when I brought up that I had to see this movie to my stream, the amount of people that were like, oh, it's supposed to be super woke, let me know what you think. I was like, I thought they removed that stuff. I don't know, I didn't watch it. That's what they said.
Yeah.
And so you're absolutely spot on. I think that's what happened. So it's funny you say that, because I went into the movie expecting it, but trusted, since you had already seen it, that I could watch it with my wife and kids. And so we did. And I couldn't find any of it. And I'm an adult. So the only thing I can think of is, was he supposed to be in love with the alien?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't even know where it was going to go.
So the plot of the movie, the plot of the movie is that Elio is this little boy, his parents die. And he, at the very start of the movie, like the very beginning, he's under a table while his aunt is taking custody of him after the death of his parents. And he feels different from everybody else. I think that was going to be the difference, was that he was gay.
Yeah.
Or trans or something like that. But there was no reference to why he felt different. Maybe he was on the spectrum. Maybe he's there's lots of reasons why kids feel different. This is an incredibly relatable story. Or he feels different
because his parents died.
Or his parents died. Like, literally, this is so relatable. Kids feel different all the time.
Yeah.
And so he felt like he didn't belong. And so he was constantly trying to get abducted by aliens.
Which is hilarious.
He felt like he should be an alien. He wants to get abducted by aliens. So he's like built this antenna to get himself shot into space so that he can, you know, get picked up. But he wants to get abducted. Eventually, he's successful. He gets abducted by aliens and he's in space and encounters this other alien child who is a worm type critter.
Hilarious character in the movie.
Very weird character, very funny. And his parents, the worm type character's parents, that his name is Glordon, by the way, they are like warriors.
Yeah, basically. Mom's off fighting wars and dad is trying to take over this.
He's a warlord, right? And they get into these suits, like they put on this suit, which I'm pretty confident was supposed to be a trans reference, like you putting on an identity that's not really yours or whatever. Like, I think it would have been more explicit in the original version, but in this version, it was just his dad was a big tough guy and he's more of like a squishy little dude and he doesn't like to wear his suit. And so he's worried that he's going to disappoint his father by not doing those things. And so they decide they're going to run away together. And ultimately, sorry to spoil it for you, but Elio's aunt never stops looking for him. And Lordan's father is ready to tear whole worlds apart to get his son back. No matter how different they are, no matter how weird they are, no matter what they do, their parents will always love them as what they came to. The moment that made me cry at the very end when Elio, it's not the very end, it's like the middle to the end. Elio comes back to Earth and his aunt is on the side of the beach trying to radio to get him back. And he's like, I thought you would just move on without me. And she's like, how could I ever forget you?
Yeah, it's a beautiful moment. So at the end of the movie, Jodie actually said, she's like, it was great, but it was super sad and depressing. She's like, it was just like really sad. And it was. There were moments that were sad. It was really funny though. I thought it was good. I think it did a good job of dealing with grief and abandonment or loneliness or feeling different. And yeah, overall, like I couldn't find any of the stuff that everyone was worried about being in there.
Yeah.
They changed directors. It got wiped. And it turns out to be, like you said, just a super pro family movie.
Yeah. The theme of the movie, instead of being, you know, everyone will have to accept you no matter what LGBTQ thing you get into, became you can never get too far away from the love of your family, which has such a Catholic feeling to it. Like you can, there's no sin that you can commit that you can't go to confession for, that your heavenly father doesn't want you back for. It doesn't matter how prodigal you are.
Yep.
Your Lord wants you back. Your father wants you back. Just
I thought the best part of the movie, spoiler alert again, if you're going to watch it, and you should watch it with your kids, is this, the dad who's this warlord, but then he like leaves his suit to help his son and like wraps him in a cocoon and like nurtures him. And it's like, what? That was awesome.
Yeah.
Like the last thing you expected. I expected him to forgive his son and to let him do his own thing. But like to save his life and rock him the way he did, it was like, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was super good.
Yeah. I think that I had a little concern that somebody would see that scene and be like, oh, they feminized him, but it's not. It's the self-sacrificial love of a father. It's the reason priests wear black. Like you are called to die for your family. I mean, he doesn't die, but don't freak out. But like, he took himself out of his safe war suit in his fleshy little squizzy worm body. That squizzy's a word.
Yeah. Yep, I'm familiar with it.
And went to save his son. Like, it was just this beautiful pro-family movie, and I am so sorry that it got lost in the weeds of the politics.
Yeah, yeah. So here is our stamp of approval.
Yeah, we want to reward this type of thing when they say, you know, it was going to be this. We realized it wasn't going to be good, so we changed gears. Like, as Catholics, we want to reward that behavior. We want to go see that movie. We want to say, like, but I understand everybody's hesitance that, like, I heard it was going to be this, so let me take that worry away from you. There's nothing in there.
Yep. There's no language.
No sex.
Yep.
The violence is kind of like...
Yeah, not a ton of violence. It's not very scary either, but there is a scene. And we talked about this with Sketch. That like for some reason, I don't remember the first time I ever saw something like this. Maybe The Ring or something.
The Ring.
But like when there's something about a dark, scary character where you can't see them and they're moving, like their body's like contorting in weird ways.
Yeah.
That does happen for a few seconds, which gave my son a moment of freak out because he just immediately thought of Sketch, which horrified him.
Yeah.
We did an episode on that. You can go watch it. That's the only really scary part in the whole movie. Like the monsters aren't scary. The aliens aren't scary. The worms aren't scary.
Yeah.
Overall, not a very scary film.
Yeah. And in that case, it's like a clone that doesn't know how to walk appropriately. So
It's not that he doesn't know how to walk properly. Remember, he walked perfectly fine. He's trying to pretend. He's trying to scare the guys into help him save him.
That's right.
But that was the whole thing. So it was the only scary part of the movie. Otherwise, like, what age would you say Elio's good for?
I took my 5-year-old and she had a great time. So I would say any age that they can sit through a movie.
Yeah. That part scared my 5-year-old a little bit too, but she loved it. And I would say same thing. Yeah. Any age.
So it's
go see Elio.
It's safe. Don't worry.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
All right. Minecraft movie. So before you explain the plot of the Minecraft movie, this is a movie that my wife refused to watch for, I mean, what's it been, a year since it's been out?
It came out last summer.
Last summer.
Well, so, last March-ish, yeah.
Yeah, so almost a year. And I am not a Minecraft fan. I think it's a great game for kids. If you're a parent, we've done episodes on Minecraft, so go watch those. My oldest has played 30 minutes of Minecraft at friends' houses. Yeah. My middle, I don't think has played it ever. But they know what it is because their friends play and they talk about it. And the previews were everywhere. I mean, it was one of the most advertised movies I remember seeing in the last few years.
Yeah.
And my wife, for some reason, was just like, no, it's stupid. It's about a video game. The kids don't even play it. They're not going to care. We're not watching it. Also, you haven't seen it yet, so you don't know if it's for kids. And I'm like, I've just, all the people that I've heard talk about it, I trust them. They say it's great. We finally traveled to Florida right after Christmas, and we were just kind of laying around. The baby was taking a nap, and it's like, let's just watch a movie with my brother and his wife. And I was like, let's do the Minecraft movie. And they're like, yeah, it's so good. We've seen it. We'll watch it again. And then Jody was like, fine. And we loved it. Jody even loved it. It was hilarious. It's great. Absolutely worth watching. We'll talk about what's in it towards the end and what age we recommend it for.
That I, in my estimation, well, let me tell you the plot summary, which is, it's not exactly easy to follow the movie. It's goofy and dumb. But the whole thing is that a group of ordinary people get sucked into the Minecraft world, basically think Jumanji kind of a situation through this guy's possessions that he has laying around. Anyway, Natalie, this gamer, and her younger brother, Henry, and then they have a protector type, Dawn, which is the girl from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Natalie was the girl from, shoot, her name's Emma Myers, but it was A Good Girl's Guide to Murder. That's okay, how everybody recognized her. Anyway, and they're in there with Garrett, who is this like gamer overconfident type guy.
Gamer of the year,
overconfident.
Can't get over it. It's Momoa, hilarious.
A very 80s style dude, and they're all in there trying to survive. They've teamed up with Steve, which is like the main character in Minecraft the game, who's played by Jack Black. He's a longtime Minecraft resident, having gotten sucked in there when he created a Ender portal, maybe? I'm not sure. And he knows all the rules where the creativity is necessary to survive, and he kind of like teaches them how they're going to have to craft and create and build in order to get out of the Minecraft world, basically. Everything that happens in the middle there, can't really tell you what that was.
Well, something important to note is that the two teenagers lose their parents. They don't have parents. And so the sister's taking care of the brother. And the brother, she's working, and the brother is trying to fit in at school, and he doesn't really fit in. He's really smart. And really creative, and then he gets to go be super creative and kind of, it's very similar to Elio.
Yes.
Like Elio goes in and finds himself in this alien world and loves it and has confidence. And the same thing happens with him. He goes into this world, he's really creative, he's better than everyone else except for maybe Steve at the Minecraft world.
Yeah.
And finds himself and then ends up at the end, spoiler, wants to go back home and use his creativity to make the world a better place, which is cool.
Yeah. Which is the redeeming quality, I guess. For me, this movie was goofy. And like, we did an episode on Anaconda, and like, that was hilarious to me. But for this was obnoxious to me.
No!
This was a step removed from SpongeBob. And it's probably the reason, what I was going to say before is, I think the reason you liked it is because you watched it with adults. If you watch it with children, the chicken jockey situation gets out of hand very fast.
Why? It's so funny.
At the time that this came out, that was like a thing that kids would go to the theater and trash the place during the chicken jockey scene. Like, it was a viral sensation. They would throw things and like make a mess everywhere during the chicken jockey scene. And sort of like the Minions thing. Remember when they did that during the Minions? Yeah. Same thing. So then kids like got onto that. And so then for months and months after, every 10 seconds, my kids are chicken jockey. It was obnoxious.
Oh, so good.
It was obnoxious. But if there is a redeeming quality, it's that he wants to take his talents back to the real world, right?
Yeah.
So this is something that we're constantly talking to our Catholic brothers and sisters about, that like, you know, having this love of Jesus Christ is important, being a person who is moral and behaves well or whatever, these are all good things. But if you can't apply them in the real world, if you can't take them out and evangelize, then what's the good of them?
Right.
So if you want to try to pull something true, good, or beautiful out of it, maybe that's it.
Come on. Okay, so a couple of things. You do not need to play Minecraft, nor do your kids like the movie. Mm-hmm. If you like Jack Black, you're going to love this movie. Yeah. It is Jack Black as 100% himself the entire time, without language. There's a little bit of language.
The tiny bit.
Little bit of language, lots of potty humor, but whatever. My kids think that's hilarious. Yeah. I'm okay with it.
No sex, no drugs.
No sex, no drugs. Violence is against
zombies that only come out at night.
Yeah, and they just disappear. Yeah. So no blood, none of that stuff. My five-year-old watched it and loved it. She loved it so much that on the planet, she loves Paw Patrol. She loves the Paw Patrol movie. She doesn't get to watch movies a lot unless we're watching with her. But we flew to Florida, and on the way there and the way back, she could have watched all her favorite, Bluey was on there, Paw Patrol movie, all these things she loves, Frozen. and she chose to watch Minecraft both times.
Both times.
Both times, because she loved it so much. So she's five. She loved it. I highly recommend it. I would say it's appropriate for 5, 6 and up. If you're sensitive about potty humor and other language, maybe like 8.
Yeah, I would. If you're worried about potty humor or obnoxious children, wait until they're the age that you can tell them to knock it off or not repeat that kind of stuff. But it is, I think it's probably fine for anybody 5 and up. It is probably easier than most live action. It's like, usually we say if they can sit through a non-cartoon movie, but this is very cartoon adjacent.
Yeah, it's like half cartoon.
Yeah, so it's not, you don't even need to be able to sit through necessarily a live action to call it good.
Yeah, and I will say this, like, if you're an adult, objectively, it is hilarious. Like, there are so many.
No Anaconda.
No, it's no Anaconda, but it is objectively funny. Like, at the very end, there's the scene where, like, the main bad guy is like, come back, I'm not done talking to you. And he's like, you're going to stab me, aren't you? And he's like, no, I'm not going to stab you. And they pull out a knife and they try to stab him. And he just walks away. He's like, no, come here, I have another one to stab. He's like, you have another knife. It's just funny. Like, there's moments in there for adults that's funny. I absolutely loved it. Highly recommend. Let us know what you think.
See, this is because John really enjoys the type of humor where it's like, you make the joke 3 times. John does that all the time. Whereas I like the stuff that you never saw coming, like the snake that falls out of the tree and eats
true,
the guy.
True.
So it's just a difference in humor takes. But hey.
Yeah. EWTN, we are always praying for you. Know that. Please continue to pray for us. Thank you for watching. Is This for Kids? We love being here and love all the work that EWTN is doing.
Feel free to reach out to me on Instagram if you guys have suggestions, something that you want us to cover. I am Mrs. Ruby on Instagram, and I will try to sneak your stuff in there. I see you, Instagram friends.
Look at you. Good job.
Helping you out. Hey, there's so much content out there for us to navigate as parents.
I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby. Let us help you decide.
Is This for Kids?